It wasn't me. The king is coming. And the spirit and the bride say, come. It's good to hear you say, come. We will talk a little bit about being adorned in white. That means keeping ourselves pure and holy. For a bride, the wedding dress is the most important thing to get ready. And you don't really leave it to the last moment to look for that wedding dress unless there is an emergency. I remember years ago, one of my friends, she planned her wedding so perfectly. She had picked out a wedding dress from a magazine, and she got the pattern, and she had a trusted, favorite seamstress. But that seamstress lived in a different state. And so my friend went for some fitting, and she was sure this seamstress always had been sewing for her that this wedding dress would be perfect. Now, the wedding dress was shipped to her a week before the wedding, and my friend was so excited until she tried it on. It didn't fit. And some parts were not fitting at all, and you couldn't do any kind of alteration to make it work. So instead of joy, she had tears, and then she had to do emergency shopping. She had to run out and hit all the bridal shops, and she found a beautiful gown, but it was not just the one that she had set her heart on. Now, when you go to get a wedding dress, you don't rush off also to the next store and grab the first one you see. And then you walk down the aisle. You know, there is a whole science to this, how to pick out a wedding dress. There is a program on TV that I can see you are all watching TV. It's very interesting. It's called Say Yes to the Dress. Have you ever watched that? Well, this bride come in that bridal saloon, and then she is assigned to a lady that will show her the different dresses, and she will get all this expert advice in how to find the perfect wedding dress. You know, it has to fit the venue, it has to fit the culture or the religious convictions, you know, that bride is from. And then, of course, it has to fit the body shape. That's very important. And the personality, and then the budget. And when she finds the perfect wedding gown, you know, on the show at least, the bride will have tears, and she will be so happy if she finds the perfect one. And of course, besides all the extra and expertise help she gets with picking out this perfect dress, you know, this bridal shop, they will make all the alterations that need to be done to make the perfect length, and to fit just totally nice. And then, of course, she can add some embroidery or some sparkles, and she need to match the veil and the shoes and the bag and the jewelry. It's a whole science to get it right. And in the end, when the dress is perfect, then they will steam it to get out all the wrinkles. And then they stuff it out, kind of, you know, at least the top part, so it will keep the shape. And they put it in a garment bag, and the bride takes it home, and she hangs it up carefully until the wedding day. Her objective is to keep that wedding dress perfect and spotless, and there shouldn't be any wrinkles on it. Now, the same God wants us to do, to keep our wedding dress, our life, perfect, spotless, pure and holy, until Jesus comes to get us. Now, when we look, what does pure and holy mean? You can go to the dictionary, and Webster has all the explanations. You know, pure is uncontaminated, unpolluted, clean, untainted. And holy is sacred, consecrated, sanctified. These are all big words, but it actually means separated. Now we will look first, how do we keep our wedding dress pure, spotless? Purity, the Bible says, is the result of being washed by the blood of the Lamb. Psalm 51, verse 7 says, that's a prayer, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. When we come to the Lord Jesus for the first time, when all this sin is in our life, and we come to the Lord Jesus to save us, it says that his blood is cleansing us totally from all sin, and we become a new creation. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. That means we are washed totally clean. Every spot is gone, every sin is gone. Now think about it. We got saved. If Jesus would have come a moment later, we would have gone to heaven with a wedding dress that was white, spotless, and without wrinkles. But he didn't come. When I got saved, he didn't come a moment later or even a year later. And when you got saved, he haven't come so far to take us home. So what happened to our wedding dress in the meantime? For some of us, we were cleansed from our sin and washed by the blood of the Lamb 20, 40, and maybe some of you even more years ago. What happened to our wedding dress? We need to realize we live in a sinful and a corrupt world. It's all around us. You know, the system of this world and its way of thinking we encounter it every day. We are born and brought up in this environment with all the sin, with all the ungodliness, with all the corruption. And since we always lived here, it seems to be normal to us. And many things that are ungodly rubbed off on us while we were growing up. And we were not even aware of it. And as we live in this world, we get contaminated by the environment. And the world is always trying to assimilate us. Have you ever noticed that? You are a Christian, you are different, but the world out there is constantly trying to assimilate you. Some of you remember the old Star Trek movies. You know, you remember the Borg? They will travel through space, and every species they encounter, they will tell them, we will assimilate you, and resistance is futile. This is how we are as Christians. We go through this world, and the world tells us, we will assimilate you, and resistance is futile. It's a daily battle to fight that we don't get absorbed into this world and forget all about our heavenly bridegroom that wants to come back to get us home. And then, of course, we face many trials and temptations. Sometimes we are strong and we overcome the temptations, and other times we lack discernment and even willingness to resist, and we fail. And even if we try to do the right thing, we often mess up. So what does all that, what I just talked about, do to our spotless, beautiful wedding dress, our life? It gets spots and wrinkles, and the white turns yellow. So what should we do? Is there a way to get our wedding dress white and pure and holy again? The Bible says there is a way that God provided for us. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if your wedding dress has some spots, some contamination of the world on it, some wrinkles, go to the Lord, and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and your wedding dress will be pure and white again. And it, when you confess and He forgives, it's forgiven forever, and it's instantly that your wedding dress is pure again. Now, we also said we need to keep our life holy, not just pure, but holy. How do we get holy? The Bible says holiness is the result of cleansing and sanctification. That is the big word again, that means separation. I want to read you a Bible verse, Ephesians 5, 24 through 26. Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by washing off water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So some of us may say, are we not instantly righteous and holy when we get saved? Yes, everything that Christ has is credited to our account. However, our earthly life must still be transformed to line up with who we are. We are children of God. We have been credited with Christ's righteousness and holiness and everything Jesus has, but our earthly life has to catch up with this. I want to read you a few verses that tells us that God wants us to become holy in our earthly life. 2 Corinthians 7:1, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Hebrews 12:10, but he, that means God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. Hebrews 12:14, it talks about what we should pursue, and one of these things is the sanctification or consecration, which without which no one will see the Lord. Romans 12:1, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. You know, Christ redeemed his bride so he could set her apart to belong to him alone for all eternity. He doesn't want to share his bride with the world or with anyone. He redeemed us to set us apart for himself, but he also knows that his church still has the mindset of the world. And her separation and dedication unto him will not last. If the church still has the mindset of the world, the bride's separation and dedication unto him will not last. So Jesus decides to do something about that. He leads his bride through a cleansing process. We read about that Ephesians 5:26. It's called washing of water with the word. You remember I told you that we get contaminated by the world just by living there. And things rub off on us that we don't even realize. And so Jesus is leading his bride through a cleansing process. There are two different types of cleansings. The first cleansing is from sins by the blood of Jesus, that is salvation, which takes care of all our sin for all eternity. And the second cleansing, and that's the one we want to talk about, is being cleansed from the mindset and from the influence of the world. And the Bible says this is accomplished through the word of God that acts just like water. You understand it so far? Two different cleansings. One is from sin through the blood of Jesus, which makes sure our salvation, but the other thing is the cleansing from the mindset and influence of the world by the Word of God. Now, it talks here that Jesus is leading his bride through that cleansing process. But it takes our willingness and our cooperation. Jesus is not grabbing his bride and she's screaming and kicking and howling and he's dunking her and scrubbing her by force to get the bolt out of her head and her heart. He's not doing that. He is telling her, I want to cleanse you. Will you cooperate? Will you allow God's word to cleanse your life? It's actually a transformation that needs to take place. And that transformation starts with our mind. Romans 12, verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Another verse, Romans 8, 29, he also predestined us to become conformed to the image of his Son. He wants us to look like the Lord Jesus. He wants us to be pure, to be holy. But it is a process that takes place through the cleansing with the Word of God. When we get saved and our names are written down in heaven, we have actually to learn a complete new way of life. The Bible says that Jesus delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of light. That is like you have come now to a strange new country you never have been before, where all the rules are entirely different from the place you lived. If you try to apply the regulations of your old place in the practice, nothing will work right in your new place. If you would go to England and you land there at the airport and you rent a car and you decide you want to drive and see the English landscape, and you decide all you know is in America we drive on the right side. And so you hop in the car, you think it's strange the steering wheel is on the other side, but you drive along on the right side. How far will you get before you have an accident or be run off the cliff? The same thing happens to us when we come into God's kingdom as a new Christian. If we try to live like we lived before, nothing will work right. And the Bible says you need to be transformed in your thinking. See, it's also like we have a computer program running, you know, and now we come into God's kingdom, but our old computer program is still running. We do the things like we always did. We talk like we always did. We raise our children the way we always did. We deal with other people like we always did. And suddenly we realize something is wrong. None of God's promises are coming to pass. Everything is so messed up. The reason is your old computer program is still running. You need to install a new one. Right? Thank you. Our thinking about everything must change so it will line up with the thinking and with the ways of God. And then only the biblical principles and God's promises will work in your life, and you will become more like the Lord Jesus. So what do we need to use to renew our mind with? To make this transformation possible, we need to learn to think like the Lord Jesus thinks, because God wants us to make him into his image. So what does Jesus think? It's not difficult to find out. The entire Bible is written to tell us what God, what the Lord Jesus thinks, and what his will is for our life. So in order to renew our life, we need to use Scripture, God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So if you need teaching, go to God's word. If you need to be corrected, go to God's word. If you need to be trained in righteousness, God's word will do that. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. We are talking about being cleansed from the influence and from the ways and the systems of the world, so our wedding dress will be pure and holy. And that will only happen if you apply the word of God to your life and allow God's word to transform your thinking, because when your thinking is transformed, your actions will be transformed, your life will be transformed. So when you want to make something clean, the more water, the better, right? Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, not outside of you, but in you. Anyone who has a laundry business will tell you the more water you use to rinse your dirty dishes or laundry, the cleaner they will get. So our commitment to God's word will determine how clean our wedding dress, how pure, how holy our wedding dress will be. So we must commit ourselves to renew our mind with God's word. This will not happen by itself. We must go to God's word and look for all areas of our life. The way you talk to your husband, the way you raise your children, your marriage, your work, everything. And be committed to change your thinking to line up with God's word. You know, this is how you do it every day. You read, what does God's word say about marriage? or what does God's word say about how I should treat my husband? You look what it says, and then you compare what you practice. This is how it's supposed to be. You compare what you practice, and if you find that your practice and what God's word says doesn't line up, then you need to change. That's the way you get cleansed from the influence of the world. That's the way your wedding dress will be spotless and pure. Now, we want to talk a little bit also about the sanctification of the bride of Christ. You know, we want to talk about holiness. We said, in order to be pure and holy, we need cleansing and sanctification. So we talked all about the cleansing by the Word of God. Now we want to talk a few minutes about sanctification of the bride of Christ. Now, sanctification is a big word. It means consecration or dedication. Now, we talked this morning about the Jewish bride. You know, she's waiting there for her bridegroom to return. Now, when she goes out in public, from the time she made a promise to marry this groom, she will have a veil. And whenever she goes out in public, she puts this veil on. And that tells everybody, I am taken. I am no more available. I am waiting for a groom to come back to me. I am set apart. This is what God has in mind. He wants to set us apart so we belong to Him alone. He wants us to be holy for Him, set apart for Him. You know, in the Old Testament, we read about a lot of different vessels they used in the temple service. They had these frying pans and these pots and these different vessels. Now, these vessels were consecrated, set apart for the temple service only. They were set apart, dedicated to God. They could not be used for any other purpose. You could not take them home and cook your stew in it or use it as a flower vase or something. No, they were set apart and they were only used for service for God. And if you dedicated such a vessel, you could not take it back ever. This is actually a picture of us being separated for our heavenly bridegroom completely. We don't take our life back and live it for ourselves. We don't belong to the world anymore. We are set apart. The Bible tells us in many, many verses to keep our lives separated from the world. I want to read you just a couple of them. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, flee from all appearance of evil. I think the some other translations say abstain from every form of evil. 2 Corinthians 6:17, therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. 1 Peter 1:15, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. God wants us to be holy like He is holy. He wants us to be pure like He is pure. And we will not be pure and holy unless we go through this process of cleansing with the water, of the Word of God, and with deliberate separation. You need to look at your life and say, from this day on, I consecrate my life to God. I set it apart for Him only, and I will never take it back to live for myself. We still talk about our wedding dress to be pure, spotless, and holy. We said, if Jesus would have come right after our salvation, we could have gone to heaven and our wedding dress would have been pure, white, and spotless. But now we live in this world, and our task is, our goal need to bring our wedding dress safely through all our travels in this world, to bring our life through all the battles, trials, temptations, discouragements, persecution, whatever you face, and have it spotless and without wrinkle. James 1:27 says, and keep oneself unstained, unspotted by the world. When my daughter got married, she got married in India, but she picked out her wedding dress here in the United States. And so she went for the fitting and everything, but she had to leave earlier than they were finished with all the alterations. And so I was going to travel a little later. And so I said, don't worry, I will bring your wedding dress. I will carry it with me to India. So when I picked up the wedding dress, I did not expect it to be in such a long garment bag and to have it all stuffed out, you know, to keep the shape and all. But it was a blessing for me that my son Daniel was traveling at the same time, and he's way taller than me. So he volunteered to carry the wedding dress for his sister. And so I tell you, it was something. We had to go, it takes about 2 days to travel and 3 different flights and plus car driving and all that kind of things. And so we were carrying this wedding dress, mostly my son did. And he had to lift up his hand like the Statue of Liberty and carry this dress. I mean, holding up his arm like that, going through the airport with this wedding dress so we wouldn't drag it at the floor. And then, you know, we couldn't put it in a suitcase or an overhead bin because it would be crumpled up. So every flight we went, we had to talk to the stewardess, is there a place to hang up this wedding dress? And so they would hang it in the captain's closet, you know, the pilot's closet. And then I bought a small steamer, you know, just in case when we get there that I can steam out the wrinkles. it was a whole lot of trouble to get this dress safely for my daughter's wedding, but it got there and it looked beautiful. But that is kind of the same thing we are facing with our wedding dress. We have to somehow carry our life, our wedding dress, safely through all the travels we do in this world, with all the things around us, with all the world trying to hold us up and to bring it through until the day when we will put it on and we will see the Savior. We will stand before Him pure and holy. You know, there is nothing more that will honor Him than when He looks at us and there is no spot, no wrinkle on our wedding dress. It is pure and it is white, and we kept it spotless for Him. So, dear sister, how is your wedding dress? I mean your heavenly one. Is it crumpled up in the back of your closet? You have almost forgotten it, that's there. Is it covered with spots or dust or wrinkles? What if Jesus would come tonight? I think when you have a little time, you should think about, pull out the wedding dress and look at it. Does it need washing and cleansing? Does your heart say, Lord Jesus, come, I am ready? You know, there is this beautiful hymn, and some of you may not even know it because, you know, you live in a different time, but many of you will know that hymn, Are You Washed in the Blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And then it talks about, are you washed in the blood? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom comes, will your robes be white? Dear sisters, these are questions that only you can answer. Are your robes white? Is your wedding dress pure and holy, your life? Maybe some of you may be here that never have come to Jesus to be cleansed from their sin and experience salvation. The Lord invites you, come and let Jesus cleanse you with His blood from all unrighteousness. And then those of you whose wedding dress in the meantime has spots, let the Lord Jesus cleanse you with His word. But all of you that know the Lord, set yourself apart for Him alone. He is worthy, and He's come back so very soon. Amen.